Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's John.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Brock gave the 49ers a break. We'll get into that. You may have, some people have indicated to me that they have Brock burnout, but I won't do what I did because here's what I'll tell you. And good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Thursday. As we get near the end of the week, it is episode 147. We'll go over the chalkboard in a minute. If you are new here, that's what we go by is the chalkboard. Thanks for joining us. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. The Bay Area Sports Collective. I have been cleared to give a message to everybody, an announcement, if you will. They don't give me announcements because they know that I'll loose lips sink ships, and I just tell everybody everything. So I have had clearance to make an announcement. We're going to have some additions to the Bay Area Sports Collective and podcasts and shows there. So just a moment, and I will be able to tell you those things. A couple of things, too. I got to give a shout-out to somebody who did a very nice thing for the show yesterday, so we got a lot to get to. I will not play a ton of Brock. I've got three that I see right in front of me on my video board this morning because I did an entire show dedicated to Brock's to Brock's $265 million press conference. So if you want to see that after this show, I do have on John Lund Unleashed a recap just of the press conference. There's about six or seven pieces, maybe seven pieces of audio on there, plus blurbs that I talk about between. And the reason I have a bass boat on there is because he wants a bass boat if his wife will let him. So anyway, the full press conference recap from Bass Boat Brock Purdy is on John Lund Unleashed, and it is separate. I don't know, maybe it's 15 or 20 minutes. I think it's about 20 minutes. Plus, as a bonus, at johnlundunleashed.com, I have a blog written. So all the video pieces, if you want to just see Brock in a row and little blurbs in between, you can go to John Lund Unleashed. So I got you covered. So whether you want to read about it, whether you want to just watch it, whatever the case may be, at johnlundunleashed.com too, I do have the video there. So whatever you want to do. And if you've never been to John Lund Unleashed, archives of YouTube shows, podcasts, merchandise, social media, blog, all those kind of things. So everything unleashed at johnlundunleashed.com. So again, thanks for joining us. I got an announcement in a minute. If you can hang for just 1 second, lots of stuff on the chalkboard today. Episode 147, Brock talks. I don't know why there's an L after talk. Did he take less? Yes, he did. The 24 versus 25 vibe, the anti-Ayuk, the bass boat, Logan Webb with a clunker. That's okay. Every once in a while that happens. I will acknowledge Bailey and Wade Jr. The offense, 19 games. I'll explain what those numbers mean. Chris Berman with an interesting thing on, I think it was Pardon My Take, a couple of days ago, and the Pacers game last night. Plus, I do have a Caboose. Sorry, I didn't put Caboose on there, but if you're new, the Sweet Clean Family Friendly Caboose Pistol. If we have something good enough, we always finish the show with the Caboose Pistol. And I actually have, let's see if I have video or just stories. I'm going to have a little bit of both. So anyway, we got a couple of those, so make sure you stay tuned till the end. All right, before we get to the chalkboard, before we say good morning, which, by the way, we're just going to say good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning to everybody. It's great that you are in the chat room, and I'm sorry that I was late this morning, but I do make, if people realize this, by the way, I haven't seen Jeff in a long time, and I was thinking about you, Jeff. Hello, hello, Jeff. Good to see you, man. Glad you're back. I do get the setup of the show on so that we can get the chat room going early because, you know, I know people just want to hang and want to say hello and good morning to everybody. And so I just want to make sure that we do that. Good morning, by the way, East Coast Red and Gold podcast, which it is still morning there, right? Right. 11:37 on the East Coast. So there you go. Lots of good people in the room today. It is great to have everybody aboard. Now, well, how about this? I've got an announcement to make. I wish I had a drum roll. I should have thought of this. Let me see, make sure that I'm doing the right thing here. And then an announcement. There it is right there. Announcement. So not only are you subscribed to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, which I am eternally grateful. Thank you very much. You always, I know, turn on your alerts because we put out other stuff beyond just the show at 8 a.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. on Saturdays. We do more than that. We put shorts out. I did a piece yesterday on Brock Purdy. So not only did I write, did a video recapping with all the video pieces of Brock's $265 million. Can I please have a bass boat wife press conference? So that was totally separate. I always put out shorts every day, and I put them out on all the social media platforms too. So make sure that you're subscribed to a lot of those are at John Lund Radio, but anyway, I digress. And so beyond John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, which you're subscribed to, have your alerts on, et cetera, and give us a like, is the Bay Area Sports Collective. And I tell you about it because, for example, the other day, Tom Tolbert, who's part of it, former KMBR friend of mine and friend of mine now, had Steve Kerr in his backyard, which is awesome. He had Marcus Thompson in his backyard, which was awesome. And they talked Warriors, obviously. So you just never know. So you got to make sure that you're part of the Bay Area Sports Collective so you can get Tom's show. You can get Pauly Mac Particles, which follow me today, Thursdays. I think they do Monday, Tuesday at 11 a.m. Wednesday, they do a night show. Thursday, they do a day show. Friday, they do a day show. So you get those. And you get, of course, Rod Brooks and Quality Hang. But they made an announcement. And Rod is official now. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to say that it was official. I don't know that I was supposed to. But in addition to Rod, we've added also at the Bay Area Sports Collective more podcasts. So Amy G, of course, you know, from her Giants days, they do a really cool podcast about women in sports media. And so they're joining the Bay Area Sports Collective. Jeremy Affelt, who's done a great job with the podcast Built for the Storm. And he talks to professional athletes about not all the great stuff that happened in their life. Great. We can look at the back of your baseball card and see how great you are. But he also talks about getting through the tough times, and he owns a great brewery near San Antonio called Free Roam. So that's what he's doing with his time. But he talks lots of baseball. So we'll get him on the show too. And Jeremy's great. So we're adding all the time. So Amy G, Jeremy Affelt, who is, if you haven't heard Jeremy, we used to have him on all the time on KMBR, and the guy is absolutely awesome. And then Quality Hang with our good friend Rod Brooks and with Rod Brooks and Friends. So I would imagine that with and friends means, and we'll have Rod on the show, that he's going to have lots of guests and friends and people and so forth. So three new podcasts are joining the Bay Area Sports Collective. Amy G and talking about women in media, which I think is going to be awesome. Jeremy Affelt, who just does an amazing job on his podcast. If you've never heard it, absolutely go check it out. And Rod Brooks, you know how good Rod is. And so Rod's going to join us as well. So we're constantly adding podcasts to this thing. So those three podcasts, plus what I do, whatever that is, Tom Tolbert, Pauly Mac, of course, used to be with Murph and Mac, and now with Creative Tony, and their podcast is awesome, Pauly Mac's Particles. So we're all on YouTube. We're all on the Bay Area Sports Collective. We all do a podcast in addition. We all do that kind of stuff. So great announcement today. Very happy to be part of the Bay Area Sports Collective, and we are adding all the time. So very, very cool. And shout out to Jeremiah Crow, who used to run KNBR. Now is helping us run the Bay Area Sports Collective, and he's the one that put these things together. So he's put some great podcasts and great YouTube shows on here. So please make sure that you subscribe to the channel at Bay Area Sports Collective, because those podcasts and those YouTube shows are joining. So there you go. And it is constantly happening more and more and more. Before, I know we have lots of stuff to get to, because that's why I was late today. Lots of great video, lots of great stuff. We got to get to all these things that are on the chalkboard. So I'm sorry that I'm delaying, but one more thing, I think two more things actually that I got to do quickly. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do this for the show. It's much, much, much appreciated. Like I said, we've built, if you're watching on X, if you're watching on, damn it, I always mean to hit this button and then I forget. So all these people on Instagram didn't hear a word, damn word I just said, but that's okay. We're fine. If you're watching on X, if you're watching on Instagram, if you're watching on any of these other platforms that I have, if you're watching on Facebook or LinkedIn, it's not like you have to do this, but it's just greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. And I can't thank Skills and all of you, first of all, for being in the chat room, for making this a great community. But Skills put this up. I think this was on Facebook yesterday. If you listen to 95.7 The Game or KMBR, anytime this past decade, you may remember host John Lund. I appreciate that. He's now hosting John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and other platforms. And so anyway, I really appreciate it. Maybe this was on X. I'm sorry that I don't remember, but I really, really appreciate it. And I just wanted to shout you out. I really, really appreciate it. And you also always, and this is what's really cool about this chat, everybody feels comfortable enough to be like, hey, Lund, you missed this, or hey, Lund, you didn't do this, or hey, I just think it's really cool that people can shout out the show and give us free publicity and all these kind of things. And we're in the growing stages of it, and it's going really, really well. and we're getting more and more sponsors. I had a great call yesterday with a prospective sponsor who's a good friend of mine, and I think we're going to be starting to do some things and potentially some live shows with not only me, but the Bay Area Sports Collective. So we're growing every single day. And I'm not just saying this. It's been a lot of fun for me. It's going back to grassroots. I've been doing this for 30 years with radio stations and TV and writing and all these different things. And so it's just been a lot of fun to kind of do things the way that I see fit. But we've grown this great community and these great people, and it's not screaming and yelling and bitching and moaning and trolls and all this kind of stuff. It's really a cool community that everybody polices and wants to make sure that everybody's welcome. And it's really cool. So if you're listening or watching, listening on Apple or Spotify, which we put up the podcast later, or if you're watching on X at John Lund Radio, Instagram at John Lund Radio, Facebook, LinkedIn, any of those places beyond YouTube and John Lund Unleashed in the Bay Area Sports Collective, migrate on over because it's a great group of people and we're growing the thing every day and it's a lot of fun. And if I don't screw it up, it should do okay. So anyway, thank you for letting me take like 5 or 10 minutes to talk about the new shows that are joining the Bay Area Sports Collective. Thanks, Skills, and others, everybody, for being in the room the way that you are every single day. It's very, very cool. Or maybe you're watching a little bit later. That's cool. You don't have to watch the show live. It lives on. So anyway, really, really appreciate everybody and the way that the show is growing and so forth. So thank you very much for that. All right. Episode 147, Brock Talks. Even though there's an L at the end of talk, I have no idea why I did that. So the main thing to me yesterday, there was a lot of things. And like I said, go to John Lund Unleashed after the show, I tell you. And you can check out Brock and potentially what his new bass boat's going to look like. So I did a total recap on the press conference. Now, in the meantime, let's play a few things that are relevant. Before I get to the money aspect, I think this is really important, something Brock said yesterday, which should give you, if you're a 49ers fan, or if you're not a 49ers fan and you're an NFC West fan or an NFL fan, should give you pause, or a national media member should give you pause to write off the 49ers this year, because I think this kind of stuff is important. This is Brock Purdy talking about getting his contract done and Kittle's contract and Warner's contract versus the things that happened in 24 with Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams.
Having the guys done and being able to get back to work and be around the guys in the locker room and just like build our culture and standard really from the ground up with all the new guys that we have. It's been pretty cool. And everybody's bought in right now, and we're excited obviously to do like more team activities and stuff as we move along the off season. But man, it's hard to explain, but the young guys, the older guys, everybody's is bringing it right now. And I think it's just so important that we're just around each other a lot, doing little different activities and continuing to build chemistry. Like that's the kind of stuff that matters, man. When you get late in the season and things get tough and you go through some tough things as a team, like you want to be able to know the guy next to you and what
he's talking about is they got to get off on the right foot. 24 was dumpster fire. You knew it as a fan. I knew it as a media member. Everybody knew it. You can just feel it. You know, when a season is charmed, you know, when a season is cursed. You don't have to be an insider. You don't have to know a lot. You don't have to, just as a fan. And last year in 2024, it was hoping against hope. It was knowing that the Ayuk thing was weird and Trent was weird and Pearsall getting shot and Pearsall out of camp and early injuries and McCaffrey's thing lingered and lingered and lingered. And we just didn't know what was going on. And Drake Greenlaw couldn't get off the ground. And you know, you just one after the other, after the other. It was weirdness. It was injuries. It was just cursed. It's what it was. And you're hoping that they can come out of that tailspin, but you knew deep down they couldn't and wouldn't. And it's the same thing with a season that is absolutely just everything is charmed, everything you touch. Think about the 21 Giants who won 107 games, and they'd have injuries, and some guy would come up from AAA that you never heard of, and you play great, just one after the other in depth and making plays. And you're looking at yourself like, these are the same guys. It's still, you know, Brandon Belton. It's still Brandon Crawford. And it's still like they just had that one last push in them, and it was just, you know, we know what happened in the playoffs, but it was just a charmed season, and you could feel it, and you start to feel it as a fan that like, this is just going to be our year now, whether you win a championship or not, whatever, but you just know that that season's going to be special. You can just feel it, and you can feel it in a bad sense. And that's what last year was. And I tell you this all the time, and not because I know, but because I've talked to tons of athletes and coaches and so forth over about a 30-year career, and getting off to a great start. And I know it's not games, and I know some people will downplay this, and I understand that. But it's building chemistry in the offseason. I've said this a million times, Brock going down with all the receivers and all the offensive guys, which he'll do shortly now that he has all this money and he can pay for the whole thing. Not that he couldn't before, probably could with all the endorsements, but I digress. And it's just a big part of feeling good about things. And there's a vibe in the locker room, and they like it. I'm telling you, they like that everybody's counting them out. They like that everybody's talking about the Rams and the NFC West. They like that nobody is putting them up with the Eagles and the Lions and the elite teams in the NFC. That's fine. They like that the, not that they watch, but the talking head shows are saying that the 49ers run is over. That's fine. How many times has national or local media said that a team's run is over when it's not? The 22 Warriors weren't supposed to win a championship. The Patriots weren't supposed to go on and on and on and on till the break of dawn. And this, you know, the Spurs weren't supposed to last that long, and then Kawhi came along. I'm not saying that they're going to win a Super Bowl, but I'm also going to say not going to say they're not, because anytime you have Kyle Shanahan and Purdy's underrated, and all the guys that they re-signed this offseason, plus Christian McCaffrey comes back, and all these different things, all of a sudden you're going, well, they're going to score points. And you got Robert Saleh on the other side of the ball. Can he perform some kind of a magic? I mean, it's going to be a hell of a magic trick if he can put together like a top 10 defense. I would think maybe top 15, and I don't know how far that's going to get him. But I do know this, with the schedule and feeling kumbaya and all these different kind of things, and watching Brock during this press conference, it's like, okay, not counting him out. I'm not saying they're going to win 12 or 13. I'm not saying they're among the elite, but I am saying that it is important at the beginning of the year to have the vibe that they've got going now versus what they had in 2024. I think it's important. You could tell me I'm crazy. All right, let's get into the money part of it, because this part to me is really interesting, because there was a debate before this whole process started, and a lot of people were saying that Brock would give the 49ers a hometown discount. So before I play that video for you, I just want to show you one piece of, I don't know, what am I going to call it, proof or something like that. But anyway, no, I don't want that one. I want this one. Okay, there we go. So you can see that pretty well. What this is game 17 averages. Now, I did do this in the recap of the press conference, so I'm going to do this quickly, and then you can do this. I'll get more into it. But you can see right there, $53 million. These are his comps. If we're going shopping for a house, okay, everybody knows what a comp is, right? What are the comps for selling my house? What are the comps for buying a house? Okay, these are comps. Now, you may think that Josh Allen's not a comp or Burrow's not a comp, but you call that in the real estate industry a high comp, all right? That's a high comp. And then Hurts, Lawrence, Goff, Herbert, those are guys. Now, I know Herbert doesn't look like him, but just we're an analytically driven sports society. And so everybody looks at analytics, except for when it's not convenient for them. So $53 million for Brock, 55, 55, 51, 55, 53, 52 and a half. Like, those are comps for Brock money-wise, all right? Age 26, you got a guy 26, 29, 28, 28, 25, 30, 27. So those are comps. Those are comps. Goff is a little bit old, but there you go. Winning percentage, you got right there. You got average season. So Brock's average 17-game season through 3 years, 307 of 454, 67.5%. That's more what I care about. 27 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Look at the yards per attempt. I don't care about yards in a season, because what yards mean is you were behind a lot. You had to throw a lot, whatever the case may be. Most teams would want balance. So 8.9 yards per attempt matters. And his 104.9 quarterback rating would be the highest of all time if it qualified. It does not, but still, 104.9 is a hell of a number. So I'm not going to go through all this stuff, but if you look at Josh Allen, really good numbers, 30 and 13, 7.3, 93.4. You know, go on down the line. Burrow's better. I mean, Burrow's better. Allen's better. I'm not saying they're not, but these are comps. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is because people are saying, well, he's not worth it. He's not worth it. What do you mean he's not worth it? Look at the numbers. The numbers are the numbers. Don't look at 262 where he was picked. Don't look at the fact that he's 6'1" and can sometimes not see over the line, and maybe he's not 6'1". Don't look at he's got the baby face. Don't look at what he did at Iowa State. Don't look. He's a comp to all these guys who at least got that much money. And then if you look at the bottom, winning percentage amongst this group, second. Completion percentage, second. Touchdowns, they have a more balanced offense, but whatever. Yards per attempt, easily one. Quarterback rating, number one. These are his contemporaries. I didn't put Mahomes in there. I didn't put Lamar Jackson. They're different type of players, and Jackson is totally different kind of a player, but he's a comp to Allen, to Burrow, to Hurts, to Lawrence. Lawrence is terrible. He got $55 million and $200 guaranteed. So don't tell me, national media, that Brock Purdy's not worth the money or somehow the 49ers overpaid, because that's what Cowherd said, and that's what Florio said, and that's what a number of these guys said. All you got to do, because when it's convenient, they look at the numbers, but when it's not, they don't. And all I'm saying is it blows my freaking mind that Brock Purdy is somehow criticized for being picked 262 and just not being tall enough and the arm kind of not being strong enough. Can he get it done or not? And he uses this comp all the time. He's kind of Greg Maddux. You know, if you go over to baseball, he's like Greg Maddux. If you're young, look it up. Yeah, he didn't throw the best fastball, but he threw about five different changeups, and he put the ball where he wanted to, and he wore glasses, and he was kind of dorky. But you know what? Didn't really matter because he was effective. Was he Nolan Ryan? No. The Nolan Ryan comp is kind of like Justin Herbert. He can throw it through a wall. He's 6'5", 240 pounds. He looks the part. He's athletic. He can roll right and throw it 65 yards down the field and hit a guy right in stride. It's amazing. But his numbers aren't better than Brock Purdy. He doesn't have a better completion percentage, doesn't have a better winning percentage, doesn't have a better anything than what Brock Purdy does, but he sure is sexy, and he was a top 10 pick. That's the difference. Look at a bunch of guys on that list. Number one overall picks. The only guy who's a second-round pick there is Jalen Hurts. He's the defending champ. Allen, top 10. Burrow, number one. Lawrence, number one. Goff, number one. Herbert, top five. That's why people are okay with their contracts, but they don't either A, watch, or B, look at the numbers. And the numbers aren't skewed. That's an average 17-game season. And last year, he wasn't very good. But the first 2 years, he went to the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. That's all I'm going to say. So let's go into a money conversation. So did he give him a break? Because in the national media, you would think that actually he got a great deal. He didn't. He could have got a lot more. He could have got over $200 million guaranteed easily. He could have easily gotten $55 million at least. Jordan Love got that. Trevor Lawrence got that. I mean, they got $55 million deals. Now, I'd say that Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, who are at $55 million, are underpaid. They should get more than Dak Prescott. But for some reason, that's an outlier. So here's Brock answering the question. There's going to be two cuts here. Brock answers the question. The question is asked a couple of different ways of whether he gave the 49ers a break. Here's the first one.
It's exactly where we needed to be. I'm extremely happy with where we ended, and I know the Niners are too. And you know, with that being said, man, like for me, it's all about football now. And you know, however, obviously they use the cap space and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's not my job. My job is to now go and win games and lead this team. But I'm extremely happy and grateful for where we ended with. And hopefully that answers your question.
So one of the key point there is when he said cap space. Now they use the cap space, however. In other words, I save them cap space. So however they use that is up to them. Now, did he give him a massive break? I mean, Josh Allen gave him a break. Brady used to give the Patriots breaks because he was making so much money off the field, and he knew what his future held. It's like, look, the only way that I'm going to get judged in this football life of mine is through winning. Brady knew that. And Brock already does know that. And Brock's 26. Brock knows that the only way, and he'll never say it publicly, but he knows that the only way he escapes this big stigma of 262 is not with 265, not with 265 million. 265 million is not going to erase 262 where he was picked. What will erase 262 is going to be championships. And he knows it. So why would I take every single dollar and leave myself vulnerable so that I can make more, a million more, or 2 million more, 3 million more, 5 million more? I'm going to give you some breaking news here. So listen closely. Brock's not going to spend that money. Brock doesn't have a posse. Brock isn't going to have a big mansion. Brock isn't going to wear diamond earrings. Brock isn't going to come in tomorrow in a gold Rolls Royce. He's not. That's not who he is. He's going to, that $181 million, which is the part that's guaranteed, is going to take care of probably 20 generations of his family. Maybe his dad doesn't have to sell quite as many hot tubs. Maybe he's going to pay off the mortgage for his parents' house. Perry High School, if you know Arizona at all, that's not in the highbrow part of town. All right. It's not poor, don't get me wrong, but it's middle class. So if their mortgage isn't already paid off for what he's already done, because he got a bunch of endorsement money, Brock's not poor, but that money is not going to be like squandered. And it doesn't mean that because Brock Purdy could have gotten more, did whatever the case may be, of how he spends it is certainly 100% up to him. And I'm going to play in the caboose pistol the thing about the bass boat, which is hilarious to me, and we'll talk about it, you and I. But anyway, that's part one. And the key there, though, is when he said, I don't know what they're going to do with cap space, that in parentheses, that I saved them. Here's part two that tells you that the 49ers got a bargain with Brock Purdy.
So much respect for everybody in this organization from the top down. And so I think they know who I am and what I'm about. And I don't know if there was a narrative of Brock's going to take a pay cut because he's a nice guy or this or that. But for me, it's, man, I play in the NFL. There's 32 starting quarterbacks, and those guys, it's not the easiest job in the world. And for me, with what I've done and everything, I could hang my hat on the fact that, you know, I've had success in this league, and I'm capable of leading an organization all the way to the end, the Super Bowl. I proved that. And so for me, it's, I know who I am, and I'm going to, you know, obviously want to get what I deserve, but also surround myself, like I said, with guys around me and not just try to take every penny for myself. That's the whole point of negotiating. You know, you go throughout that, you try to meet in the middle ground, and where we ended, man, I'm extremely grateful and happy with. So
a couple of things that come to mind in what he said right there. First and foremost, bravo. Bravo to Brock Purdy for being a little tiny bit cocky right there. I've led this team to a Super Bowl. I've led him to the end. Like you can hear in the negotiation and what his agent told him, hey, Brock, stop being so nice. Like, you led a team to a Super Bowl. That's something. Bad quarterbacks don't get to the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, unless you have an elite Chicago Bears 85 or the Ravens or, you know, whatever the case may be, some of those great defenses, the Steelers of the 70s and all that kind of stuff. Unless you have one of those elite defenses, a mediocre to bad quarterback has never been in this game. That's just the way it is. So, again, underrating Brock, the first year they go to the NFC Championship game, the second year they go to the Super Bowl, the third year tons of injuries, but that's an excuse for most people in the national media. To me, it's an explanation. But, okay, I think he's going to be more like the first 2 years Brock over this contract than he is the third year Brock, unless there's injuries. And everybody says, well, he's got to have great players around him. Every quarterback does. We've talked about it a million times, and I don't need to go back through it. You know this. If you use logic, Jalen Hurts won a Super Bowl. I think he had some talent around him. You know, the best teams in the NFC, Jared Goff. I think the Lions have some offensive talent, but I'll double check. So that's just kind of how it works. You're only as good as the players around you a lot of times. Shitty offensive players around a great quarterback means that quarterback, no matter how good he is, it's going to take him a minute. That's why the worst teams, they have the highest picks. They take those quarterbacks and they struggle for a while. Why do they? Because they don't have a good enough offensive line. They don't have a good enough receiver. Is that reflective of the quarterback itself? Sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's like, I got talent. Everyone around me sucks. What am I supposed to do with it? Well, what do teams do? They draft offensive linemen. They draft wide receivers. Joe Burrow was the number one pick in the draft. What did Cincinnati do? They went out and got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and all of a sudden it was like, wow, this guy's pretty good. Joe Burrow by himself, as great as Joe Burrow is, and he's one of the top four quarterbacks in the league. He's one of that elite group of four that's in the league right now. They went out and got him weapons. Why do you think they did that? Why do you think Baltimore every single year tries to get weapons? Why do you think they went out and got Henry? Or, I don't know. Lamar's that good. I mean, Lamar should do it himself, shouldn't he? I don't know. Might want to get an elite running back with him that's a Hall of Famer. I don't know. That kind of made a difference for Baltimore, didn't it? I don't know. So anyway, you get the point. You know this. But a couple of things that he said there. Look, I don't need to take all the money. I mean, he essentially said, I want players around him. I want players around me. I'd like to be protected in the future. I'd like to have some offensive weapons that they can re-sign. Yeah, he took a little bit less money because he's looking at it going, yeah, I could pound the table for the $200 million that Trevor Lawrence got. I'm a lot better than him. And I got 53 and Lawrence got 55, and that's bullshit. And he was the number one overall pick, and that's the only reason why he got that money. But you know what? I'm cool. I can't spend $181 million, and neither can 20 generations of my family because I'm going to invest it smartly. I don't have a posse. I don't need big rims on my, you know, Sequoia that I'm going to have. I might smoke the windows just a little bit, but you know what? I'm going to dress like the Sears catalog, whether I have $181 million or $1 million. That's just what he's going to do. He's not changing his wardrobe next year. He's not all of a sudden going to bling it out. That's just not what he's going to do. So he decided, you know what? What my legacy is going to be based on is not $265 million for pick 262. It's going to be how many Super Bowls can I win? How much can I win? And I'm going to go down in history and people are going to bitch and moan and cry and say that he had all these advantages that all the great quarterbacks enjoy. But he just knows the only way to potentially, possibly, any way that he could outrun 262 is going to be through winning, not through his bank account. Smart guy. And he's only 26 years old, and you can just tell. He's not changed a bit by that. He is not changed a bit by that money. And we'll play it in the Caboose Pistol if you didn't hear the Bass thing. It's hilarious. We have to have this debate. We have to have this debate. So we'll do that at the end of the show. So anyway, episode 147, that's all from Brock for now. If you have Brock burnout, I completely understand that. Did he take less? The 24-25 vibe. Anti-Ayuk, what I meant by that, and I didn't play the cut. I do have that in the recap at johnlundunleashed.com. I did release last night at about 9 o'clock the press conference recap. So that's in that if you want to find that at johnlundunleashed.com in the videos. But he talks about essentially, and he's not taking a shot at Ayuk. He just talks about how he wanted to maintain who he was. And I think Brandon Ayuk, unfortunately, and we all probably would have done it this way. I certainly would have. You know, he's dabbing up Kyle Shanahan one day. He's on a podcast the next day saying he wants to be with Jaden Daniels, his former Arizona State teammate. You know, just he lost who he was, and I don't think he's ever recovered, to be honest with you. And, you know, he's doing videos in his car and this and that. And it just, that's not who Brock Purdy is. And so he went through this process and kind of talked about that. And I thought, as I was listening to it, he didn't mean to, but he's basically saying that I took the approach of the anti-Ayuk. Like, I want this to be quiet. I don't want this to be drama. I don't want this to affect my teammates. I'm going to show up regardless, whether it was an OTA, whether it was something I didn't have to be at. I'm the leader of this team and I'm not creating drama. It's not all about Brock Purdy. So this process, and he said he talked to George Kittle, he talked to Fred Warner, he talked to other guys, he talked to Bosa, he talked to other guys who went through it. This had to be the easiest negotiation of all time. And I don't mean behind the scenes. I have no idea on that. But I'm just talking about like mutual respect between two teams, Brock Purdy knowing his value, but knowing that he'd like to keep other players around him so that he can maintain what he's had in the first couple of years, as long as they're healthy, the first few years of his 49ers tenure, and knowing that this is a good organization that will take care of him, but also that he wants others around him and he's not going to create drama for the organization. 25 contract negotiations couldn't have been more different than 24. Trent Williams at the last minute holds out. Brandon Ayuk, I don't even know what the hell that was last year. Kittle gets done. Warner gets done. Brock gets done. Done. And everybody wants all this drama and all this kind of stuff. And everyone wanted to kick up dirt and like Diana Rossini saying, oh, the Kittle thing. Yeah, whatever. We knew that was getting done. That was so stupid that it happened that way. Fred Warner came down at the first day of, wasn't even OTAs. It was just like a gathering and just said, I'm not worried about my contract. Next question. Like he talked about it a couple times and he just kind of chuckled a little bit about it. Like, it's not even a big deal. Don't even worry about it. And then Brock through this whole process. He showed up at every single event, every single minute. And that you knew that the indicators were this thing's going to get done, obviously. And that's the way that he treated it. And he took less money so that the team could potentially sign other guys. Pretty well done by both sides. And I've said this 10 times, last time I'm going to say it. I hope the 49ers learn their lesson. Don't get deals done in July, August, and September. Get them done now. Look how much easier it is. Look at how much more relaxed everybody is. Everybody feels great. Camp's not even, I mean, what, we're 2 months away from camp? Everything's done. How nice does that feel? Go on a vacation, Prague, Marathe, or whatever. Go deal with the soccer team. Whatever. Like, everyone's good. Nobody has to sign any more checks. Everything's good. There's no tension. Everything's fine. Media doesn't have to ask you questions. National media doesn't have to go crazy. You can fly into the radar. 49ers suck. Cool. We'll just go with that narrative. We'll just keep on rolling. It's great. It's a great place to be. All right. Bassboat we'll do later. Logan Webb, let me pop this up. Any more thought? Let me pop this up. Let me make sure that nobody has any 49ers questions as we move on to the Giants very quickly. Wow, lots of people in the room today. Very nice. Look at this. I haven't checked it for a while. Yeah, I'm gonna go to the bottom, see what everybody's doing. Got some good mornings, everyone. Very, very nice. Let's see. Yeah, I do have to do a thing on Giants. I will do that. Anything else that I may have missed when it comes to the 49ers? Remember, if you want to get your comments, questions, thoughts on the show, 100% hit me with a super and we'll pop those up to the top and get those on the screen. All right, let's move over to, let me share my screen with you and move over a little bit to yesterday's game between the Royals and the Giants. I don't know if you ever do this. I did this yesterday. I like to pop up the other team's broadcast. I was in my car running some errands yesterday and I popped up the Royals broadcast because that always kind of tells you what people think of your team. I don't know. I would recommend it. Not that there's anything, you know, whatever, but look, Logan Webb, that's considered a disaster for him. Four innings pitched, 10 runs, or excuse me, 10 hits, three earned, six overall runs, pushes that ERA to 2.67. But the biggest thing to me is 77 pitches thrown. And look at all those guys you got to use in the bullpen. Starting to lose some faith in Spencer Bivens. He was never my favorite. There's Hicks throwing a total of, 13 pitches. There's Eric Miller, who's been very, very good. But taxing the bullpen, I do not like. They used Bivens for three innings. He's a great story, but he scares the hell out of me every time he hits the mound. Let's acknowledge one thing because I am nothing but fair. Patty Barrels. Yep, I'll call him Patty Barrels for the day. Patrick Bailey did hit a home run yesterday. Way to go. His first of the season. We will acknowledge that, even though that batting average is still horrid. And then Lamont Wade Jr. got a hit and walked twice. A hit and walked twice. He is hitting a robust, 173 on the season with a beautiful on-base percentage of less than 300 when at one point last year, I think it was 480. So, look, I'll acknowledge it. That's all I can do. I'm not going to sit here and have a celebration. My opinion has not changed whatsoever because someone got a couple of walks and a hit or someone hit a home run. I'm not advocating replacing Patrick Bailey because that's not going to happen. He's a really good defender. You can't have two L's at the bottom of your order like the Giants do and think you're going to contend, especially in this ultra-competitive wild card chase that they're in. I'm not even looking at the Dodgers. So please, 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 as I always say, get a first baseman. But it's okay. For one day, he walked twice and got a hit, and Patrick Bailey hit a home run. Congratulations. I have to acknowledge that, and I did. The offense where I put right there, this is kind of confusing, so let me pop it up and explain. It says offense there, 19 games. That's in May. So what's really weird is I looked up the Giants because I thought they've got to be doing terrible with runs scored in May, right? Well, they're averaging 4.6 runs per game, which isn't terrible. 4.6 runs a game, you get near 5 runs a game, you're going to a lot of games. I've popped this up before. Their, you know, 4-plus number is absolutely huge. I think the Royals broadcaster actually said that the Royals' magic number is 4, and I started to laugh because that's everybody's magic number. I think the Royals, he said, were 16-1 when they get 4-plus runs. That's like the Giants. 4-plus runs is the magic number. So they're going 4.6 runs per game, and I'm thinking, well, they should be great, right? But it's weird. It's feast or famine with the Giants offense. So if you look right there, they have 10 games this month out of 19. It says 10, 3 or less. So 19 games this month for the Gigantes. They average 4.6 runs per game. They have 10 games with 3 or less, though, of the 19. So over half their games, they score 3 or less. But in 6 of the games, they've scored 7 or more. So they either score a bunch of runs or they score nothing. That's just what they do. Now, yesterday they got back in the game. They hit some home runs. They lose 8-4. It's one of those rare times where, because Logan Webb was one of those rare times where he didn't pitch well, they lose 8-4. They don't usually lose those games. They either score a bunch of runs or they score very little. 10 games of the 19, 3 or less. 6 of the 19, 7 or more. So the Giants' offense is feast or famine. Yesterday they were not, so this is bad timing on my part, but I was trying to look up the May numbers and thinking to myself I was going to see low runs, and I thought 4.6. But they'll score 7, they'll score 10, they'll score 9, then they'll for three games, they'll score 4 runs. So that's what the inconsistency of this offense is giving them so far, and for them to stay in it, it's got to be more flatline. It can't be like this. They can't roller coaster ride, because if they do that, they're just going to lose games. And so, like I said, Jeremy Affeldt is now part of the Bay Area Sports Collective, and we'll get Jeremy on. Today's Thursday. I want to get Jeremy on early next week, depending on what his schedule is going to be, and just talk some Giants with him and talk about his podcast and everything, so you can join up with that as well. It's a different kind of a podcast, and it's really good, so I'm excited that he's aboard. But anyway, it's a feast or famine offense. Let's just put it that way. It's a feast or famine offense. And by the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, because I made the announcement earlier, and they actually allowed me to do it, let me just pop up this one more time. Bay Area Sports Collective. So you join me on YouTube, John Lund Unleashed, but also the Bay Area Sports Collective, 3 new podcasts. Amy G heads up her podcast. Hey Girl, How'd You Get That Gig? And it's about women in sports media, which is awesome. There is Jeremy Affeldt in the middle, the former Giants pitcher, and he's just hilarious. Built for the Storm. It's a great podcast he's been doing for a while, and he talks to professional athletes about not just the greatness of what they've done, but more so how they got where they did and how they overcame what they had to have the success they did. And then I've been talking about this for a long time, but it is finally officially official, Quality Hang with Rod Brooks and Friends. So those three have been added to me, Tom Tolbert, Pauly Mack, Creative Tony, and 3 new podcasts on the Bay Area Sports Collective. So please make sure that you are subscribed. All right, we did a quick job. We did a lot on Brock Purdy. Just to recap, episode 147, Brock Talks. I do have an entire episode dedicated. If you missed, you can always go back. I will post the chapters. But if you just want to hear Brock Purdy and a recap of his press conference yesterday, I've got that up at johnlundunleashed.com, or even better, or on YouTube at John Lund Unleashed, but also at johnlundunleashed.com, I have the video plus blurbs under about 8 pieces of sound that I got from yesterday and cut it all up. So you can go to johnlundunleashed.com and check that out. Did he take less 24-25 vibe, the difference between the two? Anti-Ayuk, the Bass Boat will do as part of like 3 stories in the Caboose Pistol today. And I need your help with that. Webb with a rare clunker. Bailey and Wade Jr. acknowledged. Bailey hit a home run. Wade Jr., 2 walks and a hit. Offense, 19 games. Like I said, 4.6 runs in May, but 10 3 or less games, 6, 7 or plus 7 plus games It is a roller coaster Jekyll and Hyde offense this month. Has to stop. All right. Speaking of Giants, now this is about a 3-minute cut that I'm going to play for you. All right. You may have seen this, but it's kind of cool. It's kind of interesting to think about this. I used to really like Chris Berman. I have nothing against Chris Berman. And in the 3 or 4 times that I've met and talked to Chris Berman, he's been very nice to me. Although I will say Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans, when we were on the field and we were all very hungover for media day, they used to do it during the day, not at night like they do it now. They do it on Monday night. But they used to do it on either Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday afternoon, the big media day, right? In which they have players at like podiums and then they have other players just kind of standing around. And what was interesting about Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans was I had met Chris Berman a couple other times, but we were for some reason on Monday night. And that always happens when you go to the Super Bowl, everybody gets together and Monday night, everybody blows out. And then it's like Tuesday, you're like, oh, I'm so hungover. So everybody's hungover on Tuesday for media day. Right. And we were, you know, Kaepernick and all the different guys, Patrick Willis, Joe Staley, they're all in these, you know, the big, on the big podiums. We hung back and there was a bunch of 49ers players. Alex Smith was not on a podium. Alex Boone was not on a podium and they were hanging out together and we were talking to them and we were talking to Alex kind of off the record about, man, Kaepernick took your gig and this and that. And Alex was like, it's cool. It's cool. So anyway, we're talking and Berman's a big dude. Like you don't realize, not amongst football players, but he's a pretty big dude. So all of a sudden I didn't realize this, but somebody kind of hits my shoulder and I look back and there was this stench of booze and I look back and it's Berman. And he's sweating profusely. And we're all hungover, buddy. I mean, he is sweating profusely. And he was very nice. Oh, excuse me. He's got a loud voice. Excuse me. And he knows Greg. So we start talking a little bit. And he starts talking to Alex Smith. And he was a very nice guy. Very, very, very nice guy. All right. And the occasions that I've spoken with him. He hasn't had many opportunities or hasn't taken advantage of the few opportunities that he had to leave ESPN. So he's telling a story to the guys from Barstool about, pardon my interruption, guys, about an opportunity he had. And it was to go to NBC. The conversation first started with, I was going to go to NBC and this and that and Dick Ebersol and all this. And it would have been a lot more money. And ESPN was kind of just going like this. And he had just gotten the gig doing the NFL and the highlights with Tom Jackson. If you remember all that kind of stuff, Andre Bad Moon Rising. And he did all those kind of stuff and started to get kind of popular. And nine, 10 years into his tenure at ESPN, and ESPN was getting big, but it's certainly not what it is now. And he kind of alluded to the fact that he wasn't making millions or anything like that. So NBC comes to him and decides to stay. But then the Giants make a call, and Bob Lurie was the owner of the Giants at that point. Chris Berman talks about how San Francisco's always been his favorite city. Even though he's from the Northeast, he went to Brown University. And because Willie Mays, he was a fan of Willie Mays growing up in New York, that he always had an affinity for San Francisco and was a Giants fan and is still a Giants fan to this day. So with that as the backdrop, here's Chris Berman saying he almost left ESPN in the late 80s to be the TV play-by-play voice of the Giants. Watch this.
Story that I rarely bring up. Rarely. This is a year before. So it sounds like I'm looking to leave. I'm not. But I'm like this. From 85 to 89, I'm like this, okay? And the ESPN was like this, more importantly. So I'm a San Francisco Giant fan, as you know, above everything, even though I grew up Northeast. Willie Mays, 7 years old, in the World Series. He's a Giant. I'm a little kid, Giants. That's my team. The owner of the Giants then, Bob Lurie, great San Franciscan. Said I got a call from it. I got to know them a little bit. I'm going on here, but this is a story I rarely tell. I get a call from his office. I'm so-and-so. I'm Mr. Lurie's assistant. When the Giants are playing the Mets late in May, he'd like to have lunch with you at the 21 Club. Now, I mean, what? First of all, the 21 Club, my club is McDonald's, okay? So what can you get for $21 in 1988 at McDonald's? Hell, meals for a week. Yeah. So we meet, and there's nothing, you know, oh, my God, I'm a young guy. I take the train in a couple hours. We meet, and he goes, well, up till now, most teams, the announcers are hired by the station they work for. But just about a year or two before that, teams were hiring the man guy or woman, but let's just say guy at the time, was a team employee. I don't know when that happened in Chicago with Harry or with Jack Buck. I don't know, but it was starting, but only like one. He goes, next year we're going to hire, it's going to be our hire. We think you'd be a great San Francisco Giants play-by-play guy.
Oh, man.
Well, I've not done it other than Brown baseball, all right? But if you, it was one of my goals to do the Giants.
Right.
And I told him, I said, well, we just got football and I'm kind of that guy. We didn't have baseball yet again. And I said, but this is, and it would have been a salary increase at that time. Oh, God, yes. Not times four, but times two, maybe. Never discussed. Moved to the Bay Area, which I love from afar. Young kid, family, I'd be hired by them. He goes, well, think about it. You call me in a day or two, which I did. And I said, Mr. Lurie, I can't believe I'm telling you this. It's been my life dream, but I'm going to have to turn it down. And here's what he said. It's what good guy he was, is. After what you told me yesterday about ESPN, about the NFL, and you're the host, you're Brent Musburger, you made the right decision.
How about that? So a few things as I'm watching that, and I looked over on the chat here, and some people are like, oh, I know the story. I didn't know that story. I didn't know that it was going to be Chris Berman. Now, he goes on to say in that podcast that anymore, he wouldn't have been an ESPN and he wouldn't have been the Giants TV guy. No, I don't know. I don't know how good Berman would have been, but he made the right choice in that certain guys are play-by-play guys and color guys and everything, and other guys are studio guys. And just by his bombastic nature, Chris Berman, and his gigantic personality, he made the right choice. He's more of a studio guy than a play-by-play. Now, ESPN has given him opportunities, you know, second NFL games or baseball stuff, or certainly home run derby. We know that. And I think you know my opinion on it, but I'll give it to you in just a second. And I don't know how we would have been. But obviously, given the great broadcasters, given that he just said TV, Kruk and Kipe are Giants TV. Now, they would probably still be Giants TV. I don't know if there would have been, if that would have been different. You know, how you make decisions in life and you think, if I would have taken that left turn in Albuquerque, oh my God, it would have this whole thing of the universe and oh my God. And there's been movies made of like, you know, you made this choice. If you made would have made this choice, it would have been this. What was it, Nick Cage or something like that? Remember, he was the rich executive. But then if he would have made the choice, he would have been like the family dad in New Jersey or something like that. I can't remember what that movie was called. But anyway, you know, I mean, we all think about that. God, what if I'd have done this? What if I'd have done that? What if I went to school here? What if I'd have married that girl? What if I would have, you know, we all think about that in life, right? What would I have done? So Chris Berman's kind of going through that whole thing. What would have happened? And then, you know, to me, it's like, well, would Kruk and Kipe have been the TV guys? Would Berman have gotten fired? Would Berman have stayed? Because as he's saying that, or as he's talking about that gig, and remember, this is late 80s. So he's long gone, and I'm Kruk and Kipe are probably still the guys or whatever, and I don't think Berman would have been very good. But then again, remember, like, Charlie Steiner came from ESPN, and Charlie Steiner, voice of the Dodgers forever, like, you know, so you never know, right? And guys have come, I think Steve Bethune, right? He's, I think, the TV voice of the Diamondbacks. So, I mean, it's happened, and you think, well, is that guy a play-by-play guy? But then, you know, you're an entertainer. I mean, John Miller is a great storyteller and is amazing at everything that he does. And he happens to put play-by-play in between, like, his storytelling. It's amazing the way he weaves that all together. So you just don't know. Maybe Berman would have been a great storyteller who would have been a good play-by-play guy. And it's not fair, but I've done this before, and I got in trouble, actually. I've told you the story before. Mike Tirico, who's a great guy and has become a friend of mine and through Greg and through Papa and knowing him and doing all these broadcasts. But I'll give you a quick story on I'm doing mornings in Detroit. And I was a little wilder back then and did crazy shit. And that's just what things called for. And you're doing a crazy, wacky morning show. It's crazy. And so they had the home run derby in Detroit. All-star game was in Detroit. This was 2005. I've told you the story. I was a media member and a ball bounced from Bobby Abreu off of a table. I was in the right field stands with the media and we had tables there and it bounced like three times. And my son at the time, George, was like 2 years old. And so the ball bounces. I get it. As a media member, I put it in my pocket. This is totally irrelevant of the story, but it's going to come around because Chris Berman was doing the home run derby for ESPN. But this, bear with me for a minute. I get the thing. I put it in my pocket. Don't let me forget because I'll go ADD on you. So don't let me forget. I'm telling a Berman story here. But the ball bounces a couple of times. I grab it with my hand. It was a much better athlete in those days. And I put it in my pocket. The guy comes down. The usher comes down and goes, "You got to give that ball to a kid." I go, "I don't got to give it to a kid." I go, "I got a kid at home. He's two. I'm going to give it to him." George still has this ball to this day. George has hundreds of balls from baseball and spring training and going to games and I don't know where it is, but he's got an inordinate amount, a ridiculous amount of baseballs, Major League Baseballs, probably 100 or more. But anyway, this was one of them. And it has the All-Star logo on it and all that kind of stuff. And I look at it and I'm like, I'm keeping this sucker. This is a home run derby ball, All-Star home run derby ball. Very cool. And the guy is berating. I mean, he got to the point where he's berating me and saying, "You have to give that to a kid." And I'm like, "You're a media member." And I'm like, it bounced A, right to me. And B, I got a 2-year-old at home and he's getting the ball. Now get away from me. Like, I started to get pissed. We started getting into a fight a little bit. Guy came down. I was like, "Is there a problem?" I'm like, "No, there's not a problem." I go, "I'm a media member. The ball bounced right to me," because you can see how unathletic I am. So it's not like I went and got it and dove, and stole it from a kid. It bounced off this table to me. I put it in my pocket. I got a 2-year-old at home. That's who's getting the ball. And then they left me alone. But anyway, so Berman's calling that home run derby. And as I went home to rewatch it, because I wanted to see that I didn't get on TV or anything, but that's what I was looking for. And Berman is sitting there going, "Back, back, 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 back." And it sounded like a duck. You know, "Quack, quack, 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 quack." So it sounded like ducks. And so we put these sound effects to a hunter shooting a duck down. And it was funny and people loved it and all this kind of stuff. But to pull this back to Mike Tirico at the time, and I still think he lives there. He was living in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And Mike would come on the show weekly because we were an ESPN affiliate. Mike came on the show weekly, really great guy. And he made it known no uncertain terms, because I saw him at a Pistons game. I was covering the Pistons, and I saw him at a Pistons game. And he goes, "I'm not coming on anymore, man. You were making fun of Berman. I can't have that. I work for ESPN. Like, that's just not going to work." And I was like, "I totally get it." And we were fine later on and all that kind of stuff. But at the time, it was, so my point of saying that is like, I looked at Berman. I was like, there's no way Berman could be a play-by-play guy, right? Like, there's no way. But he wasn't going to – like, doing a home run derby, I don't know how you make that good, because it's like home run, home run, home run, back, 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 huh? Back, 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 gone. Back, 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 gone. Like, sounds like a duck. Quack, 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 shoot. So, anyway, that was my whole Chris Berman story. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, Berman would have been a terrible play-by-play guy, but who would have known? He might have been good. But my whole thought was, does that change the whole – future of the Giants broadcast team? Because now you got Kruk and Kipe and you got John Miller and you got Dave Fleming, and it's just awesome, right? And it's like, so if Berman comes in, like, is he still the guy? Is he gone? Do they hire somebody else? I mean, does it throw everything off the track? That's what I was thinking yesterday. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe this things happen the way they happen. But anyway, there you go. Berman as play-by-play voice of the Giants. How do you think that would have went? Give me your thoughts. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, this was my whole thought yesterday. Was as I'm watching that, may have changed Giants' vision with Joe Morgan and Dwayne Cutler. Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea what they do then. Anyway, that was all screwy. Let's see. Are you talking about my podcast audio being screwed up? I can double check on it. Last night's podcast audio is screwed up. Is that on? Was that because it's funny you say that, because I had to replace it. Let me know more on that, Francis. Hit me up a little bit more on that and let me know. Do I need to replace that audio from last night? Are you talking about the Brock Purdy press conference, or are you talking about yesterday's show? Let me know, because I got to fix. If so, I'll go back and I'll fix that. I did listen to it, though. I listened to it on Apple last night, actually. I was driving around. I know that's weird of me, but I was making sure that the audio sounded good. And I had it on Apple yesterday. I had Apple Podcasts, and I was listening to it. And it was fine. I'm doing on-air broadcasting now. Now I'm enamored with or obsessed with this. Not enamored. Apple Podcasts. John Lund. Let me see this. Let's see if it's last night's podcast. Was it screwed up? It says YouTube. It's very fast. Oh, YouTube audio, not audio. Tanner finding my in the presser was bad at first. Yeah, the presser that they had last night was bad at first, but I didn't use any of that audio. YouTube, it's very fast. So you're talking about the audio from yesterday's show is screwed up? Let me see here. Was it last night or yesterday? And I'll check it after the show. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to on our podcast right now. We'll check it. We'll check it. Is today okay? That's what we got to worry about. But yeah, I'll double check. I'll double check on both yesterday. But yeah, the press conference at first with Brock's press conference was weird, but I didn't take any of those cuts for the show. All right, there's the latest on Berman. Let's get to the Pacers at the bottom of this whole thing. For a lot of people, this would have been the number one story, and it is. So first and foremost, there's a few things going on here. All right, first and foremost, there are a few things going on here. Where is the Halliburton stuff? First of all, this is how Tyrese Halliburton went into the Madison Square Garden yesterday. Not bad. Both guys went to Iowa State. We know that. By the way, the Warriors could have taken Tyrese Halliburton at number two instead of James Wiseman. They weren't going to do that. But there were reports that the Warriors did like Tyrese Halliburton. His shot is so funky, though. I don't know. But anyway, whatever. That's irrelevant to any point. But there's Tyrese Halliburton, went to Iowa State with Brock Purdy. And because Brock got the big contract, he's like, I'll wear this to Madison Square Garden. So there you go. Now, they're big. They're getting smoked last night is Indiana. Reggie Miller's on the call. And here is Tyrese Halliburton. Now, he thought this was a three. This is why he did the choke sign. So they're down two. Halliburton dribbles in, dribbles out. You'll see this Kevin Harlan on the call on TNT. And Halliburton thought this was a three. This is why he did the choke. This is why there was a big celebration. They said it was a two, went to overtime in Indiana one. But here's what tied the game.
Halliburton. He'll take it. He'll backpedal a three for the win. And
are you kidding me? Like, we got to play that again. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Look at this bounce. I mean, this is just basketball gods, man. This is basketball god stuff.
Halliburton. He'll take it. He'll backpedal a three for the win.
Doink.
And
so anyway, they thought that three, they thought it was a three. His foot was on the line. They give him a two. They go out. They win in overtime, 138-135. They're up the Knicks with like 50 seconds on the clock by nine. And you're thinking this game's over, right? Indiana comes back, probably because of the Brock jersey. Here's Halliburton after the game talking about the choke sign. And Reggie Miller is on the sidelines for TNT pointing right at him because Reggie obviously was the originator of the choke.
Like plotting on it or anything. Everybody wanted me to do it like last year at some different point. But it's got to feel right. And it felt right at the time. If it would have been, if I would have known it was a two, I would not have done it. So I think I might have wasted it. If I do it again, then I might be, people might say I'm like.
I love everybody being a showman. I don't know that I would have done that in game one. There it is right there. I don't know if I'd have done that in game one. He did think it was a three, so that's why I did it, and all the Pacers poured onto the floor. They had to play. Here's what's amazing to me. After he did that and after they had that furious comeback at the end and Neesmith was hitting shots and it was crazy all over the place and it was a great game, but I thought, well, he did the choke. They ran onto the court. They got emotionally spent coming back in that game. I think the Knicks are going to win the game, but then Indiana played great in overtime and it ended up winning it 138-135. So that's the Pacers side of things at the bottom there on the chalkboard. I do have a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol. Now I have a few different ones here and they're all a little bit different. So let me get the open for you for that. And by the way, if you're new to the show, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. It's John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, the Bay Area Sports Collective. And we have new podcasts and YouTube shows there. Thank you for watching on Instagram at John Lund Radio, at John Lund Radio on X as well as Facebook, LinkedIn, and other platforms. So make sure that you come on over to John Lund Unleashed. If you would give us a like, if you would please get those alerts on because we'll have three or four more things that we'll put out today. And please hit us up with a like before you get out of here today. We would much, much, much appreciate it. And before I do go to the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol, do remember, and I'm due for a trip there just to say hello to my friends. It is Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle and Riopelle Sports Medicine. And I tell you all the time, my wife is feeling great. Last night, watching the game, she didn't really want to watch the game. She was in there with me because she likes to hang out with me for some reason. She's watching something else on her iPad with earphones on. But normally when she does that, it's an ice pack on the shoulder. It's an ice pack on the elbow. This water's bleeding all over the couch, all those kind of things. Nothing on the foot, nothing on the elbow, nothing on the shoulder, because Dr. Riopelle and the stem cell treatments that she's had done, it's been a couple of months. So she's probably, I don't know, she might be due for another one here shortly, but she feels great. No problems with the shoulder, no problem with the elbow. She can walk everywhere. Like I said, she had had some heel issues, and we were in Vegas a couple of months ago, and there you go, man. She just turns to me and says, thank you, Dr. Riopelle, because I can walk. This is no lie. He was one of the first doctors in California to do stem cell. He did it on Bartolo Colon. All Bartolo did was like pitch forever. So I don't know that there's a correlation. I'm not saying there is, but I'm just saying he did it. He's one of the first in the state. So he's in San Ramon. You can either hit that QR code right there to get yourself an appointment. It'll take you right to the website, or you could just Google it. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle, R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle in San Ramon. And they do all sorts of other procedures beyond the ones that I tell you about. So hit that QR code right there. If you don't hit the QR code, then make sure that you Google it. Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle in San Ramon. They do tons of different procedures. I'm just telling you about my wife and the success that she has had with stem cell. It's been absolutely remarkable. And I'm not just telling you that. You know me. I'm going to tell you the truth on this stuff. It has been life-changing for her. And then I do the low T, and I've been doing low T with other doctors and other places for years and years. But I'm telling you, again, truthfully, that because it's so easy. So I take a blood test. It comes back. This is how low you are as far as your testosterone. It boosts me up to the levels I should be. I feel better. My metabolism's faster. I'm in a better mood. I have more energy. That's a fact. I believe in the low T treatments because I've been doing them for years. But with Dr. Riopelle, it's such a great procedure because it's every 4 months. It's not a weekly shot. It's really easy, and I feel great. So Dr. Riopelle is awesome. He does those procedures for us in our family, but he does others as well. So make sure either you click on that QR code right there with your phone, and it'll take you straight to the website, or what you can do is you can just Google it and tell him I sent you over. It's important. Tell him I sent you over when you call to make the appointment. Hey, Lund sent me over from John Lund Unleashed. What you gonna do for me? They'll make sure that they take care of you. So whatever it is, the procedure that you want to do, and there's other things that he does, tons of other stuff, men, women, all sorts of great procedures. He is the best. So send him over or go over, tell him I sent you over, Dr. Jeffrey Riopelle. All right, let's get to it. It is time for your sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. And we have like a, I think we have like three things today. I think we're very busy with the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol today. A few different things, one piece of video, and then a couple of things we need to discuss.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
Yo, Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose
Pistol? I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
I'm not a weirdo. I just report news. Let me do the non-video portion of the show. First of all, were you on BART yesterday? Did you see this at all? And by the way, I'm a big fan of the studio. I'm a couple of episodes behind, but I recommend the studio with Seth Rogen. Very good show about him running a studio, and he's just making parodies of it all because he's been doing this for so long. He's a studio head. Great show. But it says here in the SF Standard, why, yes, you did see Seth Rogen and Olivia Wilde riding BART. A star-studded film took over multiple SF locations this week, including a BART station and an SF middle school. Did anybody see? And would anybody say any? Like, I would. Like, if I saw Seth Rogen and Olivia Wilde on BART, I'd be like, what are you doing? And plus, I hope BART cleaned it up a little bit. I hope that they, you know, got some of the rid of the riffraff, maybe did a little cleaning, a little mopping, got some, some needles off the floor, those kind of things. Maybe made sure the escalators were working and they weren't gummed up with crap and all sorts of stuff like that. And elevators are working and everything was good. I hope so. I don't know. Did you see Seth Rogen and Olivia Wilde riding on BART? I don't know. No idea. Plus, I didn't know he had that bald spot in the back like that. Not that that matters, but there you go. So anyway, they were riding on BART. Interesting. I don't know the movie. I have no idea what it's about. But anyway, the movie was shot in San Francisco, and for some reason, they needed to use BART. And I'm sure that, you have cameramen and everything. They probably cleared a car, don't you think? I mean, it's like they have cameras. It's not like they're riding BART just for the heck of it. I mean, there's cameras around and everything. You're going to record it. Like Seth Rogen didn't just go, well, I guess I got to ride BART. Like, obviously, there was cameras. So maybe they cleared a car now that I think about it. Probably. Anyway, and hopefully they had air conditioning in that car because sometimes they don't and it's been warm. You ever been in a BART car with no air conditioning? It's pretty uncomfortable. Anyway, there's that part. There's one. Let's play the Barkley part second, because when we play the Brock Bass Boat, that's going to take over the show. So this has happened to me. The reason I'm going to play this is because it gives me a reason to tell stories, F-bomb stories, and not knowing you're on the air stories. So here is TNT last night, and Charles drops an F-bomb, which I don't even think is a big deal anymore. They're on cable, whatever. Everybody's heard it. Like, we all got kids. It's like, yeah, they're all a bunch of angels, and they never hear this word. Here's Charles Barkley and the TNT crew. Somebody left their mics up last night.
They were also winning two games.
I can't believe you were trying to wedge that in when I'm trying to tell him what the vote was for MVP.
Sorry.
In just a second, as we continue here from New York.
Can you believe that? He never made a defensive team.
They were also winning two
games.
I can't
believe you were trying to wedge that in when I'm trying to tell him what the vote was for MVP.
I can't believe they say these guys who vote don't know what the fuck they're doing.
He's incredible for sure.
So anyway, that used to be such a bigger deal. It's really not anymore. I mean, we're all kind of desensitized to it. We all watch cable. We all watch shows. Kids know all that stuff. I mean, please. I don't know who we're protecting everybody from. It's not even that big of a deal anymore. Everybody always loves it when it's like, oh, hot mic, and they start listening to stuff. I got to tell you from experience, it's the most terrifying thing ever. Like, in your mind, your heart starts beating really, really fast. Because you don't know, like Charles Barkley right there, it doesn't matter. Charles Barkley just said these guys who vote, and he's talking about the awards, like defensive player or whatever. He goes, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And so he's offending writers, and the writers are like, but so what? Charles would say that to their face. I mean, he doesn't care, but you don't know, like, who did you offend? You know, who did you say? What did you say? Because with the since text came in, for example, and what you do when you're in a studio, for example, whether it be TV or radio. In some studios, you can turn on off your mic. In other studios, you can't. So in the studio, I turn off my mic, right? It's one of the first things I do. But sometimes what will happen is you have a new board operator, and they'll keep your mic up. So you could turn it off, but it could still be on. And lots of times, I just leave the studio. If I'm going to talk, I leave the studio. But sometimes you'll forget, and you'll be talking back, and there's what's called the talk back button to your producer. And accidentally, I've hit the on-air button when it was supposed, because they're right next to each other. So talk back means I could be, you know, there's a guest on, right? And, or something like that. And my mic is on, but I hit talk back and it doesn't go over the air. And I'll ask my mic, hey, where's that read I'm supposed to read? Or, hey, how much longer does this guest have? Or what time do we have to be out here? Or, you know, whatever the case, you're producing on the air. And so sometimes it'll come across in the air, and then you'll see the, like what happened right there with those guys. You'll see the text line. It'll start going, hey, Lund, you're on the air. You guys are on the air. Or they'll be laughing or something like, and you think back to yourself, like, what did I say? Did I say that guy's an effing idiot? Or did I, you know, what did I say? What exactly? Oh man, you start thinking to yourself, did I say something? Anyway, so I've had that happen on numerous occasions. The worst one I ever had was, and I think I've told this story before, it's a crazy story. So I was doing mornings, and I was covering, as crazy as this is, it was like early in my career, and I was covering like a Mountain West Conference championship or something. And so I had done a show from the arena all week long, even though we were doing a morning show and it started at 6 a.m. Las Vegas time. But I had already gotten it cleared through UNLV and the conference that I was doing these shows early. And they gave me a pass to get in or something like that, as I remember it. And one morning, it was like the Friday morning, like the last morning, I couldn't get in. Like the pass had expired. I don't know what happened, but I this is no lie. It's like 5 in the morning and I climbed this fence. And I don't know, I somehow get my way in, but I had to like climb a fence, do this, do that, and I get in. And I'm setting up my equipment and everything's good and all that kind of stuff. And then on a text line, this is early in the text line days, I'm talking to my producer down the line. I'm not even on the air. We don't start until 6 o'clock in the morning. It's probably 5:55, right? And I'm talking back to him and everything's cool. And he's asking me about Vegas and what I did last night. We're talking down the line, but I'm not even on the air yet. Well, what he had done was he had left what's called a pot. So you pot things up and down. So I'm on the air and then I'm off the air, on the air, off the air. He had left it up. My talk and I'm on the air talking to him about my trip to Vegas and what's going on, and what I did last night and all this kind of stuff. And I'm hungover, whatever. And people on the text line are like, Lund, we can hear you. We heard what you did last night in Vegas. It's coming over the text line at like 5:50 in the morning. I'm not even on the air yet. And so I call the guy and I'm like, hey, bro, like you left me up on the air before we were on the air. And so there's like whatever radio, you know, it's like a national radio show playing beforehand, but they could hear me over it. And I'm like, dude, like you can't do that. Like, you're screwing me here. That had happened. But what the funniest thing was, so then we get past that, whatever, and the show starts. And I was doing a solo show, and so I'm talking and all this kind of stuff. And this cop busts through the door. He had, must have seen me like an hour before and didn't know where I was. Saw me, you know, jump the fence, do all this kind of stuff, but he could not find me because I was in like a closed off room doing my show. Like, it was a media room and in the arena in Thomas and Mack where the UNLV Rebels play. But it was like a Mountain West tournament or something. And the games didn't start for hours, probably till 10 or 11 in the morning. And so what the hell would someone be in there doing? He didn't know I was broadcasting the show, but he was just feverishly looking through the arena, like, where the hell did this guy go? I saw him jump a fence. He couldn't find me. It's like an hour. So I'm doing the show, and it's like 6:05 in the morning, and I'm talking, and we're, you know, doing the opening monologue of the show. And this guy, I'm not kidding you, busts through this door. He pulls a gun and is like, "Stop right there." He's screaming at me. And, you know, I'm in character. So I'm like, "Bro, like, relax. Like, I'm on the air, like, chill out. Like, don't tell me to chill out." He's screaming. He's yelling, "You right now, hands behind your back." I'm like, "I'm not going hands behind my back. Like, I'm literally on the air doing a radio show. Like, I'm supposed to be here. I'm trying to explain to the guy." And this is all live in the air. I'm supposed to be here. Relax. This isn't a video either. This is, you know, back in the day. This is radio. There's no video of it. He's screaming. I'm talking in a calm way back. This and that, this and that, this and that. I'm like, "Dude, relax. My hands are up. I didn't break in here. We'll call somebody." I said, "Give me a second." I got to go to break. So I'm like, "Yeah, whatever. I do whatever the call letters were, and we'll be right back." And the next, literally, we had to go to like a 10-minute break because the guy didn't believe me. We finally had to get some executive person out of bed at like 6:30 in the morning who said, "Yeah, we changed the code. Sorry, he's good to go." It was crazy. It was crazy. But anyway, that's a long story. Lots of things have happened through the years. Oh, that's Riopel. I just popped that up there accidentally. Dr. Jeffrey Riopel. What else do I have here? Already did the Berman story. Oh, this is the one. So that was Barkley Hot Mic. And so from a hot mic, I got all that out of one hot mic. All right, this is the last one, and we're going to debate this on. We did all the Brock stuff. And again, if you want to see a full recap of the Brock Purdy press conference, $265 million press conference, go to johnlundunleashed.com. We have a video and wrote about it as well. All right. I've been waiting for this one as the last part of the Caboose Pistol today. So Brock Purdy is asked, I think by Carlos Ramirez, our good friend, asked by Carlos Ramirez, "All right, man, you get all this money. What's going to be your first purchase? Like, what is the dream thing that you wanted to?" And you know what? To be honest with you, Brock wasn't poor. He got $1 million to play football, which again, by its very standard, is not very much, but he was endorsing Toyotas. We know that. And Panini cards and some kind of seed company. And he had like 5 or 6 endorsements. So I bet Brock last year, if you looked at his taxes, he probably cleared $5, $6, $7 million. It's not like Brock was poor. He was not poor. So he could have already bought the thing he wanted to buy, but with $181 million guaranteed, he can go that much bigger now. So he was asked by Carlos, what is going to be his first big purchase?
We're still thinking about some stuff, but I don't know. I've always been a big fishing advocate, so I was telling my wife, and she's annoyed with me, but I'll say it, but I'd like to get a bass boat one day. So yeah, that'll be my first big purchase. Anyway.
All right, first of all, he said he has to ask his wife. I totally understand that. I do. It doesn't matter how much money you make. Back me up on this. It doesn't matter how much money you make. You got to ask your wife. I've told the story before on the show that I bought a Jeep without telling my first wife, which didn't necessarily end our marriage, but it didn't help. And I was driving by a Jeep dealer and I looked over and I was driving a Jeep at the time, had a lease on a Grand Cherokee and it was really nice, but I probably had 6 months left on the lease. I look over, it's a beautiful sunny day. And you know how they have those cars that are kind of, they're obviously advertising them. They're marketing them a little bit better. They've got them up on like a thing and above all the other cars. And it's this silver Jeep and they had taken the top off. And it was the first year that they did the 4 doors because I couldn't do a 2-door Jeep. George was really young. You know, we're thinking we're going to have more of a family, but it's like, okay, we're going to do 4. I was like, 4-door Jeep. And it's silver and it has these cool wheels on it and the top's off of it. And I'm like, oh my God, that looks so, so cool. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I got 6 months left on this thing. We could probably just trade it in and be good to go. And my wife and I had already talked about, you know, she's like, get a lesser payment, you know, it's, you know, whatever. She wanted to spend less money. She was very frugal. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And so I'm out driving and I look at that thing and it's a beautiful sunny day. It's in the summer. And I'm like, oh my God, that thing is awesome. So I turn, I go back, I go into the dealership and I go, what's up with that Jeep out there? And they're like, oh yeah, you know, they got fish on the line. And they're like, yeah, I don't know, why don't you give it a drive? Why don't you give it a test drive? So they didn't take the whole back off, but they had, if you've ever had a Jeep before, a modern day Jeep, they have these panels that are just like, they take 2 seconds to take off. So you got the front, there are two panels in the front and you can take those both off and you can still have the back. And it took like 2 seconds and it was like, oh my God, this is awesome. And so me and the guy go, we're driving on the freeway and I'm thinking, you know, this is really cool. Midlife crisis kind of a thing. And oh my God, this thing's awesome. So I'm like, well, you know, I get a Grand Cherokee 6 months. What do you think? And they're like, da, 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 boom, 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 boom. I don't call her. I buy the thing. So I come driving home and she's ironically enough, she's driving the other way. We're both in our neighborhood and she's driving this way. I'm driving this way and we pass each other. And she does one of these like, what the what? Like, I know that you didn't buy this without my permission, without talking to me at least first. It's a major purchase after a house, car, whatever, major purchase. Should probably at least shoot me a call, hit me with a text. I don't. And so we both pull and drive at the same time. I pull in after her and she is on fire. And George is, you know, a little kid and toddler and she is on fire. Anyway, it didn't go over well. So my point is, I understand Brock Purdy, even with $181 million, saying, well, I got to ask my wife, I can get a bass boat. I would just think if you took care of 20 generations of your family, it's a little bit different than me on a bit of a budget buying a brand new Jeep, which I was going to buy a Jeep anyway, but probably didn't need to buy that fancy or expensive of a Jeep. And had told my wife, yeah, I'll keep the payment here or go a little bit lower. It was probably $150 or $200 more a month. So yeah, it's, you know, not great. So anyway, a little different. So my thought was, and I said this in the recap yesterday because I played this cut, is I don't think Brock should have to ask. You know, when you make $181 million and you've set up 20 generations of your family, that's guaranteed money. I mean, I understand if you're going to buy a house. Hey, I surprised us with a house and it's a $5 million house. Yeah, you make $181 still. That's a lot of money. You need to talk to her about the house. But if I'm going to buy a bass fishing boat and I'm into bass and I'm into fishing and I'm into boats, so it's a bass fishing boat, I should probably be able to just buy that. What's a bass fishing boat cost? 120, 150, like a nice one that he would buy, 120, 150,000 bucks, probably maybe 200. I mean, come on. Shouldn't have to ask, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's the whole principle of having to ask. And maybe that's why, you know, I got divorced that first time, is that when you make a big purchase, maybe no matter how much money you make, maybe you should probably ask, but I don't know. When he said that, I kind of went, dude, you made $181 million. What's 200,000 into, you know, what percentage of that is that guaranteed money? Not very much. Yeah, 20 generations. Don't you think it's 20 generations? I mean, seriously, $181 million, the way he's not going to spend it, and he's going to get with some good financial people. His dad was, you know, he's got a very sound family. They were middle class. He's not going to bling the whole thing out. He's not going to go crazy unless he gets divorced, which it's possible for anybody, even Brock Purdy, to get divorced. So if he gets divorced, yeah, okay. But if he doesn't get divorced, that's 20 generations of families, man. Maybe more, depending on how you invest the stuff. So anyway, let's see. Oh, here you go. See, this is who I wanted to talk to. No offense to anybody. I don't usually talk to my husband about purchases, but we don't make huge ones, so it's all good. I just figured that is your husband a Seahawks fan? I just think that generally when it comes to big purchases, like now, and I've matured, that's many years ago that I did that. You know, if it was a car, I'd talk to my wife. I'd still get what I probably wanted, but I'd let her know, hey, I'm going to get a car. This is what I'm going to spend. Comes to a house, you know, all these kind of things. Renovations, which we're going through now, like all those kind of things. I don't know. We talk about it. Now, look, if you want to spend $100, $500, whatever, but the limit's probably, multiple thousands, then yeah, we probably talk about it. I don't think Brock should have to do that, though. Make $181 million, all of a sudden you come home with a $200,000 bass boat. I don't know. I mean, Brock could buy the boat, the lake, the fish that they're going to, you know, put in the lake. He could buy a house on the lake to put the boat on the water that he bought with the fish that were put into the lake that he bought too. Like, and I don't know, all that would cost maybe $1 million and it'd still be fine. Anyway, give me your thoughts. let me see here. There's another one right here. I want to make sure that I get to. I told him to sell the old. look, when you're average people like you and I are, it's like, yeah, you if it's a major purchase, you inform the significant other. You have a discussion about it. It doesn't mean you can't have what you want, but it's like you at least say, look, this is what I'm doing. Athletes and entertainers and people who make lots of money, they live in a different world. Like, I'm going to buy this. I think Floyd Mayweather, if he has a significant other, asks if he can buy a certain necklace or whatever. I just, probably should, but doesn't. I'm sure he doesn't. Anyway, there you go. All right, that is an extended version of the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. I hope you enjoyed it. And plus, gave me a reason to tell stories, which I always like to do. It is our great friend Dom, who says, awesome day for the Bay Area Sports Collective. Web updates coming today. This is just getting off the ground. Keep rocking, John. And the Lund Addicts. Sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me today. Lund Addicts. I love it. I love all the different kinds of Lund things, by the way. Lundaholics, Lund, this and that. I love it. By the way, Dom does a great job. And we got to make sure, I got to get this to Krug, man, because we got to do merch for at least Bottom of the Pint. And I would like a Bottom of the Pint glass so that when we do the show on Friday nights, that we can do that. But yeah, and let me just pop that up one more time. The reason why Dom is saying that, and thank you, Dom, always you can get 100% guaranteed on the show with your thoughts, questions, comments, thoughts, with a super. And thank you, Dom, for donating to the show today. It is more than appreciated. Let me just pop this up one more time before we jump. Make sure that you're joining not only John Lund Unleashed, but the Bay Area Sports Collective, because right there, adding officially today, Amy G's podcast, Girl, How'd You Get That Gig? Which talks about women in media, which is awesome. Adding that. Built for the Storm, that is Jeremy Affeldt, the former Giants pitcher. And if you haven't heard Jeremy, we'll have him on the show next week and talk some Giants, but also about his podcast. It's a killer podcast where he talks about, yeah, you're really successful, but how did you get there? Like, Built for the Storm, how'd you get there? What'd you go through? It's a great podcast, and now YouTube show with us. And then official, I've been telling you about this for a long time. Maybe I shouldn't have been, but I was. Quality Hang with our good friend Rod Brooks. Rod Brooks and Friends, Quality Hang. So, great reason that beyond not only the Tom Tolbert Show, Polymax Particles with Creative Tony, and all of those podcasts that we just added. So, make sure Bay Area, the Bay Area Sports Collective, not only John Lund Unleashed, but the Bay Area Sports Collective. And if you would join, that would be great. So, both places on YouTube, John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective, because we're adding new shows all the time. And that is the show. What is this? Episode 147 on a Thursday edition. We'll be back for the Friday edition tomorrow. Make sure you have those alerts on, because today I've got another piece I'm sending out. I'm writing another piece. Latest on Brock Purdy, by the way, is at johnlundunleashed.com on the blogs, where you can get archives of shows, archives of podcasts, merchandise, what else? Social media, all those kind of things at johnlundunleashed.com. Please make sure that you put your comments right underneath the show. So whether you're watching now and you have comments, hit me up there and I will get back to you. Or you're watching the show a little bit later. That is absolutely great. Love it. You don't have to be here at 8 a.m. Monday through Friday or 10 a.m. on Saturdays to enjoy the show. Appreciate that you're watching. You can put your comments there as well. I'm always accessible, mostly on X at John Lund Radio. If I'm not here on YouTube, hit me up at John Lund Radio on X. Thanks today for watching on Instagram as well. Watching as well on LinkedIn and Facebook. Any of those platforms are just fine. But if you'd migrate over to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, that'd be great. Get those alerts on and please hit the like button so that the algorithm will say you're not half bad. Everybody have a great Thursday and make sure you hit Bay Area Sports Collective for those new podcasts and YouTube shows. Have a wonderful, wonderful
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!